We continue our study this morning in the book of Matthew. We're beginning chapter 12 of the book of Matthew. We'll be looking at the first 13 verses of the book of Matthew. I want us to think of the statement that is found in verse 7 of this scripture reading. The very last part of that statement reads this way: "Ye would not have condemned the guiltless." Condemning the guiltless is the thought I want to use this morning as we look at these verses of Scripture. Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. In these first verses, you'll notice the disciples of Jesus became hungry. This is a normal human need. And we also learn that spiritual people live in human bodies, that we cannot deny that our human bodies need certain things, that as humans we have to have those things that are essential to our lives, no matter how spiritual we may be. There are those who give me the idea from time to time that they feel like they can get so spiritual that they'll get beyond the normal human needs of the body. That simply isn't true. We are in a human body. We have physical needs, and those physical needs must be met. These men who are disciples of Jesus, these people, do a very common thing, not something that's uncommon, not something that someone has never seen anybody ever do. The Bible tells us that they were going through a field of corn. Of course, that's barley or wheat. And as they were going through this field, they plucked the ears of corn and they ate them. They pulled them off to eat. Whether they were going to take them somewhere else and prepare them or not is not the issue at this time. Here are men, they're in the company of Jesus, and they are traveling, and they become hungry. The law allows them to go by the field or near the field in the sense of near its boundaries or even through the field and strip from the stalks of grain, the heads of the grain, and to eat them or use them in preparing something to eat. Not an unusual circumstance at all. People did it all the time. So we have to ask ourselves if that's true. If we are human beings and we have needs, and one of the needs we have is food to eat to sustain our physical bodies, and it's not breaking the law. It's a custom of the land that if you're hungry and you're traveling, you can glean some from the field to eat it. If that's true, and that's what these people did, then why the problem? Why is there a problem? Well, the problem is that it was the Sabbath day. And this was a very holy and special day to the Jews. Another problem is the Pharisees saw them. Don't they always? And the third thing is they accused them of an unlawful act. Let's read this together. Verse 1 of chapter 12. At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath." So we have assessed this circumstance correctly. Men did what they were accused of doing. They did eat. They did strip the heads from the stalks, and they were going to eat it, or they did eat, as the Bible tells us, that they plucked and they ate. Now, Jesus immediately answers their accusation. Now, he didn't spend time wondering if their accusation would be set aside by something that occurred providentially. Many times we get the idea that in the midst of controversy, there'll be something happen that will set it aside, that will answer the questions, that will cause it to go away. But I don't think history would ever teach us, at least as far as I can comprehend it, that controversy simply always solves itself. It usually simply gets stronger and stronger. It polarizes people more and more, and they get further and further apart. But Jesus addressed this accusation immediately. He said, "Have you not read?" And by that he meant, "Have you not read in the Word of God? Have you not read what David did?" And not only have you not read what David did, but have you not read what David did when he was hungered? And they that were with him. So Jesus is saying, look, I have some men with me, and I did take some grain, and my men did take some grain, and it was on the Sabbath. But have you not read in the Word of God where David did the same thing and his men did the same thing, although it was not with grain? It had to do with the showbread. That is the bread that was baked and put on the table, 12 loaves of it, to symbolize the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. It was put in the tabernacle. It was put in the temple. So this is a very prominent, well-known historical incident to the Jews. Now, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, because only the priest could eat it. Neither for them which were with him, they were not priests, and they were not to eat it. And Jesus states the fact, only for the priest. Have you not read of this incident? Do you not understand this circumstance? Now, where's the problem? Well, the problem was this. In order for David to get food and to continue the work that had been assigned for him to do, and for the men who were with him to have nourishment to continue the job that they were to do, they went into the temple or tabernacle. They were given the bread and they ate the bread. Now, that's all that's said about David. And you have to look at it and make some sort of assessment of this issue. Why aren't they arguing that David did wrong? What is the basis of not saying David did wrong? He was not to eat the bread. He was not a priest. His people were not to eat the bread. His men that were with him, they were not priests. The priest, Ahimelech, was not to give it to David. It was on the Sabbath. These things were prepared, rather, for the holy temple. What's wrong? Why wasn't an issue made of this? Well, because they respected David. They loved David. David was a hero to the nation of Israel. So they have not accused him. They have not brought it up. They have not made it an issue. And isn't that oftentimes what happens to me and you? If someone we really love and really respect does something, it's not much of an issue. We can sort of overlook it. We can sort of explain it. But if there's someone that we particularly don't like and something happens in their lives that we disagree with, we can make it big. We can then extract the pound of flesh that the law may allow us to extract. So it was simply a matter of David being the king, of David being a respected historical figure. None of the Jews were sitting around talking about how David had done wrong. So just keep that in your mind. And then Jesus uses the example of the priests of the temple. "Or have you not read in the law," and this is the law of Moses, How that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless. Now, how did the priests profane the Sabbath and yet remain blameless? The word profane means to cross the threshold of a holy place. If you're not supposed to go into the holy place, but you go over the threshold and enter it, then you have profaned that holy place and you have violated the laws, rules, and regulations that pertain to it, and you have polluted it. You have made it unclean. Now, the word blameless means guiltless. That is, not the cause or fault of a thing. You did something, and something happened, but you're not the cause of it, and it's not your fault. So how could the priest profane the temple of God, and yet it not be their fault? Well, here's how it happened. Numbers 28, verses 9 through 10 tell us that on the Sabbath day, the priests were to kill two lambs every Sabbath and burn them. Now, there are two problems here. Number one, they had to kill on the Sabbath day. They had to burn these lambs on the Sabbath day, so they had to kindle a fire. And Exodus 35:3 strictly forbids any Jewish household to kindle a fire on the Sabbath. But the priests were commanded of God to make the sacrifice. But the law that God had given them prohibited them from doing the things necessary to offering the sacrifice that God had commanded them to offer. Think about it for a minute. God had said, don't build a fire, don't labor on the Sabbath day. But he had told the priest, kill two lambs, build a fire, and burn them on the Sabbath day. So we have a contradiction here. And Jesus said, have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are what? They're blameless. And the answer is, of course, that they were to do what God said in the sense of making the offering, because that was his express command, and it overrode the idea of keeping the Sabbath day holy. We often fall into a similar dilemma. A person must not, according to the Word of God, forsake the assembly. That is, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And yet we must labor and care for our families, because if we do not, we would be viewed as worse than an infidel. So we must not forsake assembling ourselves. That's in the Scripture. But if we do not supply the needs of our families, we're to be looked upon as an infidel by the congregation. So we can see that certain circumstances can cause us to be put in this same kind of dilemma. For instance, a fireman. He has to work his rotating shifts. He has to, from time to time, absent himself from the assembly in order to keep his job and to protect the city from fires. I've had this in congregations where I've pastored before. Also policemen, also doctors of medicine, also nurses, and others who work in hospitals. Do we want these places shut down and locked up on Sunday? Do we want every hospital closed on Sunday? Not a single doctor go in, not a single nurse go in, not a single dietitian go in, not a single worker go into the hospital on Saturday. It's locked tight. It's not open till Monday. Do we want that? Do you want all the firemen to be at home on Sunday and the fire stations completely unmanned? The answer to me is a very obvious no. I want them open. I want them functioning. It's necessary to the well-being of humanity and mankind, and is not forbidden in the Word of God. Jesus is greater than David, and this is the answer to the first suggestion in verses 3 and 4, have you not read the Scriptures? Jesus said, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. What does Jesus mean by that? It means that Jesus Christ is greater than David, and that Jesus was in the field of grain, or he was near it. This made that place greater than the temple. Wherever he is Lord of all. He is even Lord of the Sabbath. Because in verse 8 the statement is made, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 27, there's a similar circumstance, and I think it will help us a little bit by reading from it. And in the same incident, here's what Mark recorded. Mark 2:27. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now here's the difference. God didn't make the Sabbath day and then make a man to keep it. The first thing that God made was a man. And he knew all of his needs. But God made the Sabbath for the man. And so in this Sabbath keeping, there are many exceptions. And they are expressly written in the Word of God. Things that you can do on the Sabbath day, because God himself realized that you simply could not shut down everything on the Sabbath day because of the needs of men and because of the needs of animals and because oftentimes of the pressures of life. Their Bible ignorance was the basis of their condemning the guiltless. Jesus said in verse 7, but if you had known what this meaneth. Now, if you had known what this means. Now, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Jesus said, if you had known what that verse means, then you would not have condemned the guiltless. That's what he said to the Pharisees who condemned him and his disciples for plucking the grain on the Sabbath day. If you had known what this means. So they had a knowledge of the Scriptures. They knew what it said, but they did know what it means. And there are many people today who can give you Scripture after Scripture from memory. It is not memorizing Scripture that makes you knowledgeable in the Word and will of God. It is knowing the meaning of Scripture. Now, these people knew these Scriptures. They didn't know what it meant. So their accusation of Jesus, of condemning a guiltless party of people, which included the Son of God, was based upon their improper interpretation of a verse of Scripture in the Old Testament. The word guiltless means without accusation of a crime or without guilt in the sense that they did not commit a crime. Hosea had written in Hosea 6:6, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. These are similar statements in the Word of God, which emphasizes that God himself recognizes that sometimes in the course of human events that there are going to be contradictory things. And when there are contradictory things, we have to decide what we're going to do according to the Word of God. So we can always, here's a person who could use the law to accomplish a purpose. But if by having mercy that could be set aside, then how mercy? People who get the idea that knowing what to do when it comes to doing right is a very simple thing simply do not know the Word of God. We've got to understand it. We've got to know to whom it applies and how to apply it. So these people, however, made their mistake because of Bible ignorance. Now, you would expect that doing something that broke the Sabbath, that violated the Sabbath, that Jesus would have learned his lesson. That he immediately would have said to himself and to his disciples, perhaps even out loud, "Look, fellows, we've learned our lesson. The one thing we won't ever do again is do anything where people can misinterpret our actions and accuse us of breaking the Sabbath. It's too controversial. It's something we can't do. We don't need to do it. We're going to lose some of our followers if we keep aggravating and bringing up this controversy of what is it legal to do on the Sabbath day." Jesus, immediately, when he departed thence, he went into their synagogue. "And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?" And why did they ask him that? "That they might accuse him." Jesus was constantly being challenged to defend himself. And he always did answer according to the Word of God when he answered. I know there are times when he didn't answer, but he answered according to the Word of God. Jesus went on doing what he'd always been doing, and that is he went to the synagogue. And when he went to the synagogue, his enemies were still there. They were still plaguing him. They were still trying to trap him. They were still trying to accuse him. So they brought in a person with a withered hand, a cripple. Now, you know, it's unconscionable that people sometimes resort to using people who are crippled and halt and maimed to try to make a point. That's not a good way to make a point. But that's what these people did. They caught Jesus in the synagogue on a Sabbath day. Brought in this man with a withered hand, and they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?" And they did it for one reason only, and that is that they might accuse him. Now, the word "accuse" here means to speak against before judges. So really what they were saying is, look, they meant to use this incident, whatever he said, and they were going to take it before the judges and accuse Jesus. It wasn't something they wanted for their own personal information, okay? Or their own personal knowledge, so they could guide their lives by it. It was so that they said, "What do you think about so-and-so?" And they meant to use his answer to carry it before judges so they could have him ruined. That's what the Bible says. "And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out?" Sure, the Bible teaches us that we shouldn't do labor. That is, taught the Jews they shouldn't labor on the Sabbath. But what if an animal who doesn't know about the Sabbath, what if an animal such as that falls into a pit on the Sabbath day? What are we going to do? Leave that poor animal in that pit until it's lawful to drag him out, which would be after sundown, on that holy day? We're going to leave that animal there to suffer for water, to suffer for, and perhaps even die because of thrashing around in a pit. What are we supposed to do? Jesus said, all of us know that you're supposed to do one thing, that you're supposed to go get the animal out of the pit. All these people knew that. But see, they were trying to say, now, is it lawful for Jesus to strip this grain and eat it on the Sabbath day? Is it lawful for him to heal this withered hand on the Sabbath day? Jesus, I think, aggravated, and I can prove that by the word of God. He was angry. And he said, look, you people do this for sheep. You people do this for your donkeys. You do this all the time. Verse 12. How much then is a man better than a sheep? The principle that Jesus invokes here is this. A man is worth more, much more than a sheep. And it's lawful for you to save the sheep. Now notice what he said. Is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? And you know what the answer is? It was yes then, and it's yes now, even though the Sabbath has been nailed to the cross. It is lawful for us to do well, for we to do well, for you to do well on the day that we assemble. And then in verse 13, Jesus defied them by healing. He said, stretch forth thy hand, and it was restored whole. Now you would expect that their reaction to this proper interpretation of the word of God would have caused all of them to rejoice and to be filled with confidence that now they knew exactly what they ought to do. But the Bible tells us in verse 14 that they held a council against him that they might destroy him. The word destroy here means to be put to death or to find death in battle. But that's not really, that's just the real thing they're saying here. The fundamental use of it here is, and the thought is, not annihilation, but ruin. They, at this time in the ministry of Christ, they weren't seeking to kill him. They were simply seeking to ruin his ministry among the people. And there's sort of an amusing sideline to this in the book of Luke chapter 13 in the same incident. And it's sort of amazing to me that political correctness was alive even in the days of Jesus. But in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, there is the same incident that's recorded here. And Jesus healed a woman of her infirmity. In verse 14, the Bible tells us the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, now look at this political correctness, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Hey, we got 6 days that this man can do all of his healing, and if he just do all of his healing on these 6 days, and you sick people would just get healed on these 6 days, we wouldn't have this controversy surrounding us all the time about whether it is right to heal on the Sabbath day or not. Sounds like a fantastic compromise, doesn't it? All you have to do, Jesus, is just heal on 6 days. You've got 6 days to do it. And he tells the sick people, look, you can wait till tomorrow. And we can end this strife and controversy about Jesus. Is it right to heal on the Sabbath day? You would have expected that Jesus would have accepted that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And he would have encouraged this kind of thinking, that he would have admired the man's thoughts. But do you know what he said? The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all of his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Sometimes we get invited to just not say anything anymore. Just go ahead and do your work, mind your own business, and don't say anything. But I don't think we ought to do that. I think we ought to say what God's Word means 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, whenever we have opportunity to say it, and that if it's important, say it more than once. That's what Jesus did.